We're going to continue reading in the scriptures here, continuing on in John chapter 13, picking up now in verse 31. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words. Lord Jesus, we thank you for not only instructing your disciples, but instructing us as well. For we know that these words were not just written to them, but they are written to us, all of those who would follow you. And so we pray that you would instruct us this very night. Teach us. Sanctify us by your truth, for we know, Lord, that your word is truth. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned just a few minutes ago, this is the night that we often call Maundy Thursday. And I often get the question, and I try to mention this every year, I often get the question, what is Maundy Thursday? Why is it called Maundy Thursday? Where did that name come from? Well, the word Maundy came from the Latin word mandatum, which means mandate or command. And that word became connected to this day because in this passage, Jesus gives a command, or you might say a mandate, to his disciples. He says it's a new command. He says in verse 34, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another." On the last night that Jesus was with his disciples, this was the command that he gave them. This was the mandate, and that's why we call it Maundy Thursday to this day. And I want to reflect for just a few minutes on this command that Jesus gave his disciples. In one sense, it seems incredibly strange that Jesus would call this a new commandment. Because in one sense, there's nothing new about it. If you go back to the Old Testament, the command to love one another, to love our neighbors, is present in the Old Testament. You might argue it's at the heart of the Old Testament law. If you go back to Leviticus chapter 19, in that chapter, God gives a whole list of different commands that pertaining to how we treat one another. Things like leaving food for the poor. God tells people not to deal falsely with one another. He tells people to seek justice. He tells people not to oppress their neighbors. And then in verses 17 and 18, he summarizes all these commands with these words. Leviticus 19, verse 17, he says, "You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." This command to love our neighbors, or you might say to love one another, to love other people, is not something that really is new. It's at the heart of the Old Testament law. It's at the heart of God's law today. And so, in one sense, this is not a new commandment. It's a very old commandment. And yet, at the same time, for some reason, on the final night that Jesus is with his disciples, he says that he's giving them a new commandment. So the question becomes, in what sense is this commandment new? It must be new in some sense, otherwise Jesus wouldn't have said that. So in what sense is it new? Well, I think that even though this isn't a new commandment, it is in a sense made new with the coming of Jesus. So how is it made new in Jesus? Well, let me mention a few different things. First of all, this command has a new emphasis in Jesus. It has a new emphasis. Jesus didn't invent the command to love one another, but he did emphasize it in a new way. in a way that he hadn't emphasized it, that hadn't been emphasized before. And one of the examples of this is if you look back to Matthew chapter 22, when a lawyer comes up to Jesus and he asks him this famous question, he says, "What is the greatest commandment in all of the law?" And Jesus responds with these words. He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." Now notice, when Jesus is asked, what is the greatest commandment? He goes on to cite the two great commandments, sometimes we call them, love God with all of your heart, soul, and mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. He says those two commands summarize all of the law and the prophets. In other words, these are the heart of God's law. This summarizes everything. And that's similar to what Paul says in Galatians 5:14 when he says, "The whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." So by saying that the love commandment summarizes the entire law, Jesus is giving it a new emphasis. He's saying this is the heart of it all. If you want to really follow God's law, doing this is what captures the entirety of it. This is the center. And so he's giving it a new emphasis. This command has a new emphasis in Jesus. Secondly, it has a new extent in Jesus. There were many Jews in Jesus' day who believed that it was only their obligation to love other Jews. And they thought if they were loving their fellow Jews, they had done a good job, but they weren't obligated to love anybody else. Jesus blew that misconception out of the water. And one of the places where he famously does this is with the parable of the Good Samaritan. And somebody comes up to Jesus, and he's conversing with this expert in the law and asks Jesus, "Well, who is my neighbor?" And the assumption behind that question is that he wants to know who he's obligated to love. If the person is his neighbor, then he's expected to love them, but if they're not, then he's not expected to. But what Jesus essentially does in that parable is that he tells him anyone that God brings into your path is your neighbor. You're obligated to love everyone that God brings into your path. In other words, the love commandment now has a new extent. It isn't just limited to a select group of people like you. You know, there were also those who assumed not that they just had to love their fellow Jews, but they assumed that they were only obligated to love those who loved them. In other words, people thought, well, you should love your friends, but you can hate your enemies. And Jesus blew that assumption out of the water. You'll remember these famous words in Matthew 5, verse 43, where Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven." Jesus made it clear that the command to love went beyond people like me. It should be extended to everyone. It goes beyond ethnicity. It goes beyond race. It goes beyond preferences. It goes beyond every boundary you could possibly think of. Jesus says, if we only love the people that love us, what reward do we have? Anybody can do that. No, we're called to love everyone. So, interestingly enough, this command in Jesus, again, in one sense, not a new command, but it does have both a new emphasis and now a new extent. And let me add just one more thing. This commandment also has a new example in Jesus. It has a new emphasis. It has a new extent, and it has a new example. Jesus revealed what it looked like to live this command out. This is why Jesus says, listen to these words very, very carefully. In John 13:35, he says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another." Do you see what he did there? How are we to love others? Well, just as he loved us. The pattern for loving others is the example which Jesus set. In other words, Christian love is not some kind of generic, sappy, sentimental love. It is a love that is radical, it is sacrificial, it is Christ-like. It is modeled after the example of Jesus himself, because he is the one who says, I have come to reveal to you what love is truly about. God demonstrates his love for us in this: while we were sinners, Christ died for us. The example of love is set forth most clearly in the Son of God himself. And so, although, again, the command is not new, it has a new example. Because if we want to truly see what it looks like to love and to fulfill this mandate, we follow Jesus. So, again, the command that Jesus gives to his disciples on that final night, on what we call Maundy Thursday, is not a new command. It's a very old command. But it has a new emphasis in Jesus. It has a new extent in Jesus. It has a new example in Jesus. And I want to close by saying this. On the final night that Jesus was with his disciples, he didn't just give them a command, but he also told them that this command would be a key indicator of something. Listen to verse 35 again. Jesus says, by this, what is the this? Well, it's the command to love one another, as he already said. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. The key mark of a disciple is love. And the key indicator, if someone is a follower of Jesus Christ, is, Jesus says, if you love one another. So tonight the challenge is, as we celebrate Maundy Thursday and we think about the final night that Jesus was with his disciples, we are his disciples now. If we claim to be followers of Jesus, he says the command to us. And therefore, we need to hear the command. This is the commandment I give to you. He's speaking to you, anyone who's a follower of Jesus. But we don't want to just hear the command. Because James says, don't just be hearers of the word, be doers of the word. And what is it that enables us to do the word? Well, we can love because he first loved us. This entire Holy Week, we think about Jesus first loving us by going all the way to the cross to die for our sins. And if God has so loved us, the Apostle John says, how can we not also love one another? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love, which you have lavished upon us, Lord. You've lavished your love upon us beyond what we could possibly imagine. Lord, it is your great love that enables us not only to be saved, but to be sanctified so that we might fulfill the commands which you have given. And Lord, as we reflect upon this command, this mandate tonight, we ask that you would help us to be a people of love. Not a sentimental love, Lord, not a mushy love, not a love the way the world defines love, but love the way our Savior defines love. Help us to follow in your footsteps, Lord Jesus, so that the world might know that we are your disciples. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.